Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest and the views of our callers. And right now we're going to be having Cal Grenville on the line. Before we get Cal on, I just want to mention that we're going to be changing on the 13th of January our shortwave coverage. If you're out there, just get your pencil and paper out. Our afternoon program, that's 3 to 5 Pacific and 6 to 8 Eastern Time, is going to be going to 9.480 kilohertz. Our evening program, which you're listening to now, will be at 5.755 kilohertz. So this is January 13th, but that'll go from 9.480 to 9.480 in the afternoon, and the evening program, which, of course, on the East Coast is 11 to 1 in the morning, 57.55. And, of course, please get the word out. We certainly don't want to lose any of you who are listening there on shortwave. Well, this evening we're going to be talking about what's going on financially throughout the world. It was just this last week when Mr. Paulson from Goldman Sachs, who gave up a $40 million job, a year job, I should say, $40 million a year he was getting, for a paltry $185,000 he gets as Secretary of the Treasury. He and apparently Ben Bernanke went over to China to talk to the Chinese. Now, they didn't ask them to come over here. We went over there. In other words, if we were in a strong position, we would have said, hey, you come on over here. No, we were in a weak position, a very, very weak position, because the Chinese have the largest reserves of any country in the world. They have about $1 trillion in reserves, about 70% of that in American dollars. And if they ever start dumping those American dollars on the market, it'll end the reserve status of the American dollar and have an impact on everybody listening to this program. Now, the Japanese have a reserves of about $800 billion. Even the Russians have reserves of about $250 billion. And the American government doesn't have any reserves. We are having to borrow almost $3.5 billion a day simply to pay our debts. Our deficit, our trade deficit this year, is going to be over $800 billion. Our trade deficit is going to be over $800 billion, the largest ever, and it seems to be growing every year. Now, if you know about our debt, the federal debt for next year is supposed to be, we're really doing so well, we're only going to have a federal deficit of $281 billion. At least that's what they say. Only we've got to have it down. It was up around $400 or $500 billion, but the Bush administration, through taking tough positions, is going to get it down to $281 billion next year. And if you believe that, why, you probably believe in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy. And let me tell you what it really is. Dr. Corsi has an excellent article. You'll find it up on the WorldNet Daily. The real deficit next year is going to be $3.2 trillion. If you want to see the article, we have it. Now, how does he get that from the $281 billion to $3.2 trillion? Well, they simply lie. I mean, they always lie. I mean, don't you remember? I'll get Osama bin Laden, dead or alive. We've got to stop those all those weapons of mass destruction that are there. They just forget to mention all the new money that they owe for Medicare and Social Security. They've been stealing it for years. They forget to include the war, but it is primarily the welfare state that is running us up to $3.2 billion for 1 year. Well, I see we've got Cal Grunville on the line. How are you doing, Cal?
Well, good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And certainly we were just talking about the massive deficits that this country is piling up that we can never effectively pay off. And what's really so tragic about the situation is that they're actually, the Congress has required the federal government to come up with a proper accounting. In other words, the same accounting we would hold corporations to. They have two sets of books, one that they tell the public about, and the other is the real things. And because, you know, certainly almost a quarter of our population is going to be retiring here in the next, 15 or 20 years, and certainly 25% of government employees are going to be eligible to retire in the next few years. Why, you know, we have these massive pensions we promised to pay and massive health care benefits we promised to give them. And there's no money to do it with. There's no way, of course, we can run up the deficits the way we have, and we're running, actually creating a deficit of almost $4 trillion every year. This is about what we're doing. So you pick up the story there, Cal. How do you see things unfolding?
Well, they're certainly bleak, and I was also reading an article by that Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily, talking about our federal budget deficit is at $4.6 trillion, and while the government is telling us it's $248.2 billion, so it's like 19 times to 1, an under-exaggeration. So they're cooking all the numbers, and I, too, have been pretty much on top of this thing with China dumping $1 trillion in U.S. reserves. That's probably the most frightening thing on the horizon.
Could you explain to our listeners what this would actually mean if China were to start, you know, getting rid of their dollars and buying either euros or gold or silver or whatever? In fact, there was an article today suggesting that's just what they told Paulson, but he's afraid to tell the American people because that would run gold and silver just right through the roof.
Yes, that's very true, and I'm just kind of waiting to see it happen. Of course, gold went down today.
And silver went down dramatically.
Silver went down also.
Both of them are going down dramatically.
Of course, the bankers still have tremendous power to manipulate, and all the rules that used to apply, like gold being a barometer of the stock market, and kind of a canary in the mine, so to speak. That's all out the window now. So the more disastrous the economic situation is right in front of us, the more they manipulate gold and keep it down. And it's just, again, a rouge so that the public won't look at gold and they won't buy it. And
hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment, Cal. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and we're simply talking about the manipulation of the gold market by the central banks, who for really decades have manipulated the gold price so that we would have a feeling it really doesn't have any value, and so that we would have to use the paper money that they create out of nothing. But we're coming to the end of that time, and if China could topple the whole American financial system tomorrow if they started dumping dollars and buying gold and silver, because there isn't any gold and there isn't any silver out there. The central banks have sold off most of their gold, and certainly they don't have any silver. So, but right now we see both gold and silver, instead of going up in anticipation, actually going down. Do you think that's all manipulation, Cal?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a psychology game, and, of course, as you know, that's how the government controls the public. And it's just like they defy the laws of economic physics, if you will, and people are just caught like a deer in the headlights, not knowing what's going on. But if you understand what they're really doing, and it's all reverse psychology, if you understand that, then you anticipate this, although eventually this, gold and silver being down is going to come to an end. And if once China starts, buying foreign currencies, gold, silver, tangibles, then we're going to see gold start climbing because, there's no way that the bankers can control that kind of purchasing.
Well, I think it's very interesting. Chris, what most Americans don't understand is for years we've been giving the countries throughout the world useless dollars backed by absolutely nothing. And then in return, they've been giving us their manufactured products. it was a good deal for them because, of course, that got their people working and built up their industrial base. And it was a good deal for us because we were getting all these wonderful things, literally nothing, for the price of the paper money that we'd created out of nothing. But, you know, eventually, of course, these foreign countries are going to get smart, and they're going to say, we're going to have to look after ourselves, and we're going to have to protect our own people. And my fear is that if China and or Japan or even Russia started getting out of dollars, it could have a cascading effect that would bring down this whole house of cards.
Yes, it would. And I'm looking at an article here from the Hal Turner Show. Did you see that one, too?
No, I didn't.
That one is a very, very good one. Just some of the quotes out of here is, it says, China reportedly told the U.S. delegation that went, you know, Bernanke and Paulson and the other people, he said, quote, we're the largest holder of U.S. currency, and if the rest of the world unloads theirs before we unload ours, we will lose our shirts. And so, they, you know, China is not dumb. They see what's happened to the dollar, and holding $1.1 trillion of our reserves, if they don't get out first and limit their losses, and they wait for other central banks around the world to do it, then they're going to lose even more than the $300 billion they've already lost. And, of course, once that sell-off of dollars happens, it's going to create almost immediate hyperinflation. And experts are saying it's going to be worse, far worse than the Great Depression of 1929.
Well, I think that, you know, if America were to be the only powerful nation in the world and we had no competitors, they could keep this game going for a long time, this con game. But there are other countries out there that are looking after their own national interests. Certainly America is the most powerful nation in the world militarily. We can't even subdue a little country like Afghanistan or Iraq today. And so then, of course, people are beginning to question, you know, you may have a lot of military might, but, you know, you really are not able to get other countries to do what you want to. Maybe we don't have to go along with this system either. And if other countries then begin to lose confidence in the American dollar, and they begin seeing, you know, here we're living up, but we're still the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. China has more reserves than any other nation in all history, and we've become the world's greatest debtor nation. That wasn't the case, you know, 20 years ago. We were certainly the world's greatest lending nation, and now we're the greatest world's greatest borrowing nation. And, of course, one of these days, people are going to get tired of borrowing, pardon me, of lending to us, because as the value of our currency declines, they lend us dollars at today's value, and the value of the dollars declines, and they get back dollars that are certainly, you know, worth much less. And, of course, if the dollar declines 50%, China's, you know, currency holdings, reserves, could decline 50%. They don't want to get stuck holding the bag, do they?
No, and that's why they're seriously contemplating selling off as fast as they can.
And I think it's really so interesting. Ford has had to go out and borrow something like $18 billion and pledge everything they have so they'll have enough money to begin to restructure, and hoping that they can restructure and become profitable again. And if Ford Motor Company can't do that, then Ford Motor Company, which is just about as American as apple pie, will become a remembrance of things past. And there's really a serious question whether they're going to be able to compete in this new global market that we've created.
There's a lot of serious things ahead of our country that people just don't realize.
Well, you know, the other thing, of course, is as the housing market continues to cool off, and then as housing prices begin to contract, people are not going to have the money for all the buying, and most of our gross domestic product is simply, you know, Americans taking care of other Americans, but it's not in production because we've shipped so much of our production offshore. In fact, there's a wonderful quotation I read this week by Warren Buffett talking about what's happening as far as American companies. And he was just basically saying that we lose about 1% of our industrial base every single year. That's just 1% is being bought up. Now, about 25% of the American industrial base that we still have is owned by foreigners, and every year they just increase their share of America's industries and food stores and other tangible assets that make money. They're even buying up our some of our roads. They're buying up some of our bridges, toll bridges, things of that sort. This massive highway that's going to be built through the United States is going to be built with Spanish money. Because, of course, all these countries have all this money, and they can either take it, hold on to it and take a chance on it losing its value, or they can, of course, turn to buy America. And what they're talking about is buying up America, and pretty soon we will be under their control. Whereas in years past, other countries were under our domination. Now, increasingly, America will be, you know, under other countries' domination, because he who owns the property and owns the wealth calls the tune.
Yeah, that's very true. And what I've been talking to a number of people in the last week or two, and I'm even shocked at what they've been telling me. I've got a friend who's a contractor in Minneapolis, and he said that he has about 20 homes that he's built, spec homes, and they're all sitting. There's not one selling. There's no nibbles. No one's even trying to buy one.
What's he going to do?
It's just a matter of time before he goes under if something doesn't sell, because he's got between $2 and $3 million just sitting there. That's immediate anyway. He's got a lot more than that.
And I think what people have to understand is what has happened is that. People have borrow money, and of course this is a wonderful thing about our system. You can go out and borrow money, and then you make a profit and you pay the money back. But what happens if you borrow money and you don't make a profit? In other words, happens you got all these homes and you have to keep paying the interest on the money you borrowed for those homes, and nobody buys the homes. And I've seen this. I remember back in 1980, a number of my doctor friends thought they were so smart, and they put in this beautiful housing development down along the cliffs of Santa Cruz, overlooking the Monterey Bay air, beautiful places, about 20 townhouses right up there on the cliffs. And as the interest rates went up, nobody could buy those homes. And here they're paying, $150,000, $200,000 a month in interest. And eventually, of course, they lost the whole thing. The bank just took it back again. Is this what your friend is concerned about?
Yeah, ironically, you almost described to a T. Another friend of mine who knows a big developer just south of, maybe 30 miles south of Minneapolis, and he builds these high-end homes. Of course, high-end over here is a lot different than high-end where you are. But he's got these developers have about 25... homes were $300 and up, $300,000 and up, I should say. And they're all sitting. There's not one of them selling. It's just like a ghost town there. No one's buying. And there's also, what was really hot in that area too was, there's a lot of farmland because, the cities are sprawling out and, land is going $5,000, $7,000 an acre. There's no land being sold either. Everything is at a dead stop.
Well, I think that, of course, it depends upon the parts of the country. Some parts of the country where other prices are still going up a little bit, but they're not going up as rapidly as they were. And some parts of the country where everything is pretty flat, and then some part of the country, you just can't sell houses. And, of course, eventually you've got to start dropping the prices. Because if you don't drop the prices and sell them, you can't pay the interest, and the real problem is people are head over heels in debt. All of these developers are doing this on borrowed money, and it's simply because they've never studied the cycles before. They've never read my little pamphlet on the history of money, nor do they realize that this has happened time and time again. And, of course, when the pinch comes, why, wealth goes from weak hands into strong hands, and weak hands is you and me. And the strong hands of the bankers who create the money out of nothing. And then when we can't pay the interest, we can't make the payments, the scheduled payments, why, of course, then the bankers end up taking it over. And it's a game that's been played over and over throughout the centuries. But, of course, most of the people here are simply not on the varsity team. And they've made a lot of money, and I think probably a lot of them are going to lose a lot of money. Probably a lot of people are going to lose everything they have before this whole crisis, this calamity that lies ahead. comes to an end. Well, Cal, pick the story up from there.
Well, another interesting story, of course. About 2 weeks ago, my transmission went out in my car, so I went down to Green Bay. I'm only 35 miles from Green Bay to get it fixed. And it's a small shop down there, and he was talking to me about the Green Bay area there, and he said how depressed it is. And he said within a 1 mile radius of his shop, there were 13 businesses that went out of business in the last year. And he said, these mid-sized transmission shops that have like maybe 10, 12 employees, he says they're all down to one man now. And most of them are out of business, but the ones that are left, they're just a one-man operation. He said the Ford dealer, the Chevy dealer, they're competing now in prices with the small one-man shops. Well, you know, if you go to a dealer, you're just going to, you know, pay twice what a small shop was. But now they're doing the same work that these small shops with no overhead are doing just to get some business. They're really cutting down. And then they're taking all this outside work from the dealers, from the big manufacturers to rebuild transmissions. So like 200 transmissions will come into the shop, into the dealer, and they'll rebuild some for Ford, rebuild some for Chevy, International. I mean, they have all these transmissions that they do, and then they go out the door, and they've never done that before because they've had so much work, you know, so much kind of gravy work. But now all that's gone, and they're just trying to survive. Survival is the word.
Well, you know, this is rather an early stage of this coming recession. In fact, I believe it's going to be a major depression before it's all over. And if they're having difficulty surviving now, what's going to be like maybe a year or 2 years from now when things really get rough?
That's right. And then, you have a dollar collapse in the middle of it, and, you know, foreign governments, bailing out of the dollar, it's all going to snowball at some point very soon. And even Paul Volcker was talking about, you know, 2.5 more years before the dollar is gone. Well, that's a long shot. So all these things are happening, and they're very scary signs. And not that we should be panicking, but trying to do something in the meantime to preserve the little that we do have. That's kind of the key. And a lot of people see this, but as you know, the majority don't. So.
No, I really think it's very interesting that with all of the the ominous signs that we see with the dark storm clouds, you know, hovering overhead and getting closer and closer, why we still see the stock market going up. You know, everything is just fine, hunky dory, and it's all manipulated. They manipulate the stock market, you know, to make us feel good, just exactly the way that they manipulated the price of oil down prior to the election. And now, you know, of course, we kept telling everybody the price of oil is being manipulated down. And it went down, I think, probably right here where I live, to about $2.20 a gallon right before the election. And then the day after the election, it started back up again. I think it was $2.59 here, or just yesterday when I filled my tank up again. And, of course, the price of oil is going to go back up again. And this is going to have a profound impact upon, you know, the buying capacity of the American people. But it's all manipulated. It's illegal to manipulate prices. The OPEC is a cartel. Well, we're not going to do anything about it because the higher the price of oil, the more that big oil makes. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and of course, Cal supports Radio Liberty, and we support Cal. We think he does a good job in helping people to make their investments in gold and silver and other assets. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let me give you that quotation from Warren Buffett, and I quote, "Foreign ownership of our, that is American, assets will grow at about $500 billion per year at the present trade deficit level, which means that the deficit will be adding about 1 percentage point annually to foreigners' net ownership of our national wealth. We Americans have entered the world of negative compounding. Goodbye, pleasure." Hello, Pain. That's Warren Buffett, and of course, Warren, I think, has a pretty good grasp of what's going on. As more and more, of course, of our national assets are being brought up by foreigners, because, of course, of our trade policies, and, of course, because of the massive deficits we're running. So, Carol, you know, it's right now, of course, what would you tell people who call you and ask what to do?
Well, again, I recommend or suggest to people that they get out of financial institutions and take control of their wealth and turn it into tangibles. You know, you have to have some cash, but turn it into tangibles and have control of it. That's what I talk to people all the time about in just a real common sense way. And people are starting to listen because a lot of them are waking up. I mean, it's not a buying frenzy by any means, but I think the reality of all this is kind of hard to miss. A lot of people aren't really missing it anymore, and just because of the reality of, you know, no jobs. Everybody, wherever I talk to them, they employment in their area is down, and jobs are down, and people are losing jobs, and so that's kind of a reality check to wake a lot of people up, is the fact that, you know, the unemployment is really gotten hurt.
Well, because, you know, the older people who are, certainly not, in the labor market, because they're living comfortably on their money that they're getting on interest on their investments or other things. But, of course, when the dollar begins to decline in value, then many of the people who honestly believe that they have security in the things that they have, their annuities, their bonds, their money that they have on deposit, their CDs, things of that sort. These can all be wiped out overnight as the dollar continues to lose value. And you may have the same number of dollars. They just won't buy anything. People don't understand that. They really have no grasp of what happens when a currency, of course, loses its value, and the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. And there's been an organized effort, of course, to destroy the value of our currency here. And it's been led by the Federal Reserve System. Their purpose, of course, was to ensure the stability of the dollar. And they have done exactly the opposite. They've profited tremendously themselves. But, of course, they've betrayed the trust of the American people. We've got Mike calling from Coeur d'Alene. Mike, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I heard some interesting things just today about China actually helping to force in the Amero. And I also had an email from a friend of mine who was saying that Pastor Butch Paw had announced on his radio show that banks in his areas are putting up signs about limitation of withdrawal of funds. Now, that happened in 1930, before the collapse?
Yes, and also happened in 1933.
Well, I think that basically, of course, they would like to get the Amero here, but they're not going to be able to get it in, Mike, until they collapse our currency, and only out of a total collapse of our currency and the impoverishment of our people will they be willing to accept this North American currency, which is what the Amero is. And I think there's a man named Robert Proctor, I think that his name has been advocating this for some period of time. Now, the one thing that's so interesting is apparently the people in Europe, the various countries are beginning to turn against the euro. It's not working out too well there, but it doesn't matter that it's a rotten idea and it will not benefit the American people. Our leaders have no loyalty to America. They intend to impose it upon us, and it's just a matter of when they can actually do that. The other interesting thing that they're doing is they've actually lowered the margin requirements to buy stock. In other words, you used to have to put a 50% to buy stock. Now you can buy stock at maybe 10% margin. In other words, you can borrow 90%. That's just what they did before the great crash back in 1929. And everybody's in the stock market, you know, speculating because, oh boy, they're going to get rich, you know. They're so much smarter than the system. And they don't understand that the system is smarter than theirs. And, of course, getting into the market on margin is a great way to make a small fortune.
Right.
A large fortune. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Hang on, Mike. We'll be glad to take any more thoughts you have. Okay, Mike, did you have any other comments you'd like to make?
Well, yeah, I wanted to kind of see if you both can verify that there's been a freezing of assets on how much a person can withdraw from their accounts at banks. Pastor Bush Paul in his radio program was mentioning that in his banks they had signs up saying that you could only take out so much of the monies that were in the funds.
Do you know anything at all about that account?
I know that at different times banks have done that, but I was wondering if you knew the amount that they were talking about. What was the limit?
No, you know, I didn't catch that part. I was at work, so I wasn't able to catch it. But it's interesting to note that, you know, in 1928, when the dollar was in decline, the banks did something similar, and then when people were trying to get their money, they declared a bank holiday.
But it was after that
it collapsed.
That's a much different situation than what you're describing. I actually have not heard this at all.
I will
look into it, but I have not heard it. And I don't think Cal has either. You haven't heard that?
No, I haven't heard that, but again, that's one of the final signs of a...
I don't think it's right at our doorstep, Mike, but I think it's coming. Anyway, I can even give Butch Paul a call and find out what the...
Well, I can, too. I know him pretty well.
Okay, anything else you'd like to say, Mike?
Well, no, other than thank you. Merry Christmas to you both.
And to you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to call. Jeff is calling from South Dakota. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, how are you, Dr.
Doing Sam? Fine. How are you?
Real good. Got a question for you, Cal, and I'll take the answer off the air here. But let me ask you this. What would happen, aside from Lou Dobbs, or he's really maybe the only one I could think of that would even remotely consider talking about the things that you're talking about tonight, what do you think would happen if one of these mainstream media guys came out and said, hey, everybody out there, dump your stocks. Dump everything you got that's paper. Start buying gold and silver. If you don't do it now, you'll regret it. And started talking about it every week. I mean, what kind of impact would that have on gold and silver?
The American public is totally asleep, as you know, and it would have to be someone who got loose out of a cage and said those things over the major media, because they'd never let that happen.
I think if it happened one day and he would be looking for a job the next day.
He would
day.
Be gone after right. one, after 10 minutes.
Jeff, you have to understand, our media is controlled in America. And there's just a few radio stations where you can get the truth, and most people are totally asleep and will remain asleep until it's too late. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. And anything else you'd like to say, Jeff, before we let you go?
He was going to take the answer off the air.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, before we go on, why don't you get your telephone number, your web page out, and tell people what they'll get. You actually have a package you send out,
right.
A packet of information when people call you. So how can they get in touch with you? What will they get?
A couple ways. First of all, you can call me at 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. Or most people go to my website, which is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. And I have a very, very interesting information package. I've written a 32-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry, which is very informative about a myriad of topics. And then I've got some other documents. One of them is the Emergency Banking Order, which basically gives the government jurisdiction to just close the banks or tell the banks to shut their doors anytime the government says. And then there's an article on the Fort Knox Gold that's not there anymore, so there's nothing backing our dollar. And then there are some articles out of the 1933 New York Times when Roosevelt confiscated gold. And interestingly enough, the second new banking regulation that Roosevelt put in place was to open everybody's safety deposit boxes. And it's right there in black and white for you folks who don't believe that he did that or that they'll do it again. So it's a very, very interesting informational package that I'd be glad to send to you. I also have my 32-page paper on email, so, or I shouldn't say email, but electronic form, so I can email it to anybody who wants it too. So you can sign up on my website.
All right, fine. Once again, your telephone number.
It's 414-234-8267.
One more time.
414-234-8267.
All right, fine. And if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And let's go to Will, who's calling us from, of all places, Missouri. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Very well, Dr. Stan and Cal. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a scenario I want to run by you. I've been thinking about this all day since I heard the first report this morning in regards to China. But if China is holding, as we know, $1 or more trillion in treasury instruments or debt notes of ours, and so a scenario came to my mind during the day that it were China basically to pledge to release half of its debt notes, U.S. debt that they're holding of ours, then the plunge protection team, so to speak, could come in and drive down gold and silver to, let's say, 50% of today's prices. Then China would be able to buy $500 billion worth of gold or silver at the manipulated and artificially low prices. Then the plunge protection team could come back in and pull the market price back up on the gold. And it resolves as a win-win solution where the United States gets rid of some of its debt and China covers their investment position with gold and silver and other resources. I would like to know what you and Cal think about that possibility.
All right, fine. Cal, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's rather far-fetched, to say the least. Because
I agree. Go ahead.
Because the central bankers only have a limited amount of power to manipulate gold. They can do some things, but it's the worldwide demand for gold that's driving the price up and keeping it there. So they'd never be able to manipulate it down that far, ever.
I think, first of all, Will, that China has about $1 trillion in foreign reserves, of which about 70%, that would be $700 billion, is in American currency. In other words, they own about $700 billion of our currency. And Japan has foreign reserves of about $800 billion, and I suppose maybe three-quarters of that is in American currency, something like that. But, you know, certainly we are not going to give gold and silver away. We're not going to intentionally strengthen China monetarily at our own expense. I think it's a great theory, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think the one thing that the central bankers fear is that China really might start buying gold, because they started buying gold. If they put, say, you know, a couple of $100 billion into gold, they'd buy up all the gold there is in the world.
That's exactly why I'm thinking that this might be a possible scenario, since that if you have a buyer out suddenly come into the market as strong as China is, trying to buy $500 billion, I think that they would be able to get a lot of people to walk and talk, and a lot of the squawkers would have to step aside. It would be an excellent opportunity for them if they got real serious, and I know that Russia's been talking about it too, if they did want to get rid of their debt notes and get into gold and then get into the euro and other things. I think they would be in a position to be able to put enough pressure on the gold reserve market that they would be able to get it for whatever price they wanted if they wanted to buy as much as I'm thinking that they can.
Now, the thing is, of course, there is a relationship between buying and the price. And you get a lot of people in the market buying, and there's very little there. Does the price go down or does it go up?
It depends, I think, on the end game as to who wants to see it happen. If the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the other primary gold holders and the Queen of England would like to see the United States collapse or go into this system, I don't know how much cozy room there is, but it seems to me that this would be an ideal opportunity, and I would just watch the dollar or the gold prices go down until they found a place where they could come in, and when they came in, they would come in strong and make a major, major buy.
Well, they would make it. They might drop the price, so that the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Queen of England certainly would mark it down, but they wouldn't be doing this for the Chinese. They'd be doing it for themselves. Certainly not for the Chinese. The last thing they want is for the Chinese and the Russians to increase their gold holdings, because you know what the golden rule is, and that is that he who has the gold rules.
That's true, but I think in this marketplace, Great Britain is in a pretty tenuous spot. I don't see them being really strong, and I think that it would probably be a very good move to move them towards the one-world globalist system. But anyway, that was my idea, far-fetched as it might be. I wonder how far the prices will go down before a major player comes into the market.
Well, I think that it's only a matter of time before it starts going back up again. That would be my thought. What about yours, Cal?
Well, again, if you just look at logistics, worldwide production of gold is the lowest it's been since 1931, and we're looking at a severe supply and demand situation right now, albeit it's very, very manipulated, but I don't think it's going to go much lower. And when there is a frenzy and start buying, especially if Americans ever wake up, look what happened in 1980, you know, to the price of gold, it hit $850.
And it should be, I think, probably close to $2,000 an ounce now. And well, I think it will get up there in the not-too-distant future. So I would not wait for it to go too much lower.
Thanks for taking my call.
God bless. Thanks very much. And that was Will calling from Missouri. And of course, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but I certainly agree with Cal. This is probably an excellent buying opportunity, and I think it's an excellent buying opportunity for silver, because silver has taken more of a hit than gold has recently.
That's very true, and while there's still some availability, I am running into an availability problem now with gold. Not so much with silver, but I am with gold, and you know, people should kind of pay attention and listen, because...
Well, tell me about the problem you're having getting it.
I'm having problem getting, you know, certain grades of coins. Of course, I just sell the low grades, and those are the coins that the big coin companies don't sell because there's no money in it. But I'm having a problem getting some of these coins, and or I never did before. So I'm just saying to people, you know, look, you better buy some while you can while times are relatively sane, because in a panic, you know, nobody does anything that's called good, and you're just going to pay half again or double what you needed to for, you know, for some gold.
Well, tell us, what do your dealers tell you, what do your suppliers tell you? As they say they're having difficulty getting them, because, you know, there are only half a dozen really big suppliers across the United States, and
right.
They're just saying, what, they're just not available?
Yes, in fact, one of my suppliers can't get silver dollars. I don't even sell silver dollars, because they're just way too expensive per ounce compared to the junk silver, but... One of my suppliers hasn't had any silver dollars for a couple of years.
All right, fine. We've got Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. This is more of a question or more of a comment. Somebody had called in and said something about removing money from the bank.
Right.
I sat next to a lady who is a bank branch manager at a service club meeting, and she said at her previous branch where she was, they had a full-time employee who did nothing but fill out, I think it's called an SDA form or something like that, that they report to the federal government on financial transactions.
Right.
And I don't know what
this is standard. If you transfer money, large sums of money from your bank, or specifically if you were to send it overseas, the government is tracking everything. They want to know everything about everybody. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. That's being done by the Defense Department. It's being done by the Office of Homeland Security. And they have a dossier on you and all the money you have.
Well, I can assure you where I live isn't like New York or Hollywood. But it just impressed me that this lady said they had a full-time employee for nothing but this form.
And they have to actually fill those forms out, and if they don't, well, they'll get into real trouble.
And
not only that, but they cannot tell you that they're filling the form out. They are not supposed to let you know what they're doing.
I heard, well, it was some. They had some kind of program about this little tattling that they want the kids to do now. They've got a tips program for kids, and the gal that was explaining the program was swearing up and down that there was no way to figure out who actually called, and I laughed out loud. And afterwards, the lady said, "So you don't believe that?" I don't believe that any farther than I can throw that woman. You know, I know they're on top of everything. They can say, you know, we don't follow the, you know, but anyway, that's when she told me that, you know, they had so many of those forms to fill out, they had a person whose job it was.
Yeah, I think that the average American really has to understand there's a plan for a dictatorship in America, and they're going to control each and every one of us. They're already, of course, they're refurbishing those Japanese concentration camps. They think of, I think they put out $38 million because we didn't want those 10 Japanese concentration camps were just falling into disuse and just beginning to break down. We wanted to get all those them all fixed up again, you know, so that we would never forget how terrible it was putting people in concentration camps.
Well, you know, the amazing thing...
If you believe that, you believe anything. They're getting those ready to put people into them, just like they've given $385 million to Halliburton to build detention camps. And
well,
here's another $38 million to refurbish those Japanese concentration camps. Because they, in fact, I recently talked to a gentleman who has strong ties with the intelligence agencies, has been with the CIA for many years, and I asked him on one of our programs, well, why do you think they're doing this? Do you think they're anticipating civilian unrest? And without hesitating, he said, yes, of course they are. So they know exactly what's going on. They just don't want us common folks to know.
When I was in the service, I used to fly out over Manzanar, and I hear they're building that back up now.
Don't know anything about that. What did you have a question?
Well, no, sir, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
It's the one out there by Mount Whitney.
Okay.
Not too far from Mount Whitney. To the south of you there.
What is it? Is it a...
It was an internment camp.
Okay, I know.
Manzanar.
Yeah, they have them all across the country.
Right.
And just like the Nazis did, everything is calculated. They had a program on CBS 60 Minutes last night, going into all the files that the Nazis kept on all the people in the concentration camps. They were very meticulous, and I'm sure they'll be very meticulous with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Thanks very much. Well, Cal, certainly if people were out there and they're thinking of getting gold or silver at the present time, do you think that they'd be better off to get silver right now, or they would be better off to get gold if they don't have a lot of money?
I'm putting just about everybody into gold right now. I said you can always get silver later because there's not a severe shortage of silver. And so that's what people are doing, are getting into gold. Now, one thing I wanted to point out, and I don't know if we've ever covered this, but have you heard about the Buffalo First Strikes?
Now tell us about that.
Well, it's a scam. That's what it is. Of course, the mint, the mint mints the, is minting the Buffalo bullion coin, and it's 0.999, which is good. It's a 24 karat coin, but one of the grading firms, NGC, National Guarantee Corporation. There are two of them in the country: National Guarantee Corporation or NGC, or Professional Coin Grading Service or PCGS. These are the two grading firms that grade, rare coins. You know, mint state 61, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 70. Now, you can't legally, it's not right, it's not honest to be able to grade a bullion coin because you can only grade a coin that has been legal tender in our country or another country. It has to be in circulation. So you just, you determine its detail and how much wear it has and things like that, and then you grade it. Well, these two firms came into being in the mid-80s to standardize grading across the country because all the coin companies were grading their own in-house, and of course they would inflate the grade. Even if you inflate the grade from an MS-63 to MS-65, you're increasing the cost of the coin almost double. So anyway, they did a service for a while, but as every organization that's ever been established, it always gets corrupted. And so NGC thought about, I think we'll just encapsulate and grade some of these coins. So what happened is, of course, they're embedded with the coin companies, the big coin suppliers, and some are worse than others. I'm not going to mention any names, but I know which ones are. And some of them believe in this, and some of them are just dead set against it. That is, the wholesalers. Well, some wholesalers won't do this, and other wholesalers are doing it freely because they make big profits. Anyway, so the wholesaler will send a batch of 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 of these, first strike buffaloes, and the first strike means the first, 5 million coins that were minted. Send them to NGC, and NGC puts a 75-cent plastic case on them and grades them MS, mint state 69 or 70, and sends them back. So then these coin companies... The wholesalers sell them to coin companies, and they get anywhere from $1,200 to $1,800 a piece when, they should be selling for around $630 or $640. So there's tremendous, tremendous profits, but it's a tremendous scam. And I've talked to a number of people that have already gotten burned, you know, because that's all I do all the time is I talk to people across the country, and what did they buy? Well, a lot of them got talked into buying these first strike buffaloes and got totally taken. It's really, really sad. It makes me mad. But
will the companies that sold it to them take them back?
Yeah, sure, at bullion price.
I see. Well,
that's the reality. That's the first strike is, unfortunately, you know, somebody had a knife in their hand, and that's what they did.
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of sharks out there in the water, and you just got to be awfully careful. And this is one reason why I certainly hope that you know, the people that we have here on our program, I believe, will treat you honestly. This is certainly wouldn't have anybody on here who is really taking advantage of the people who call them. So, Kyle, let's get your telephone number up one more time.
It's 414-234-8267.
One more time.
414-234-8267.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Cal, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Again, I can't stress enough that people have to take a hard look at their finances, what they have in institutions, and again, you have to remember, even though we live in this system, the government is not trustworthy. We can't trust the banks. You can't trust their institutions. But yet, somehow, 99.9% of the people in this country have all of their wealth behind somebody else's doors that they can't trust. But once you realize that, and you take a hard look at, you know, that's all you've got, you should really consider doing something about it. Now, some people can't afford to buy gold and silver, but then you can take some money out and buy some food or supplies and have those with you and have some maybe cash in hand. Those who have a lot more money should consider buying gold and silver, because when this dollar collapses, it's not that far away. If China does this and the effects, you know, come like a tsunami, the dollar is going to lose, you know, value very, very fast. And, you know, we can see banks, as that one caller has already said, you know, rationing cash, cutting down. You can only take $2,000-$3,000 out at a time, or you can't transfer money because they've got the controls. We don't.
Well, tell me, how much did silver dollar is going for now?
Oh, boy. Like a Morgan silver dollar is like $15, $16. No, it's not. It's around 20.
What about just a regular old silver dollar, the old used silver dollar?
Oh,
$13 to $14 bucks.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Just sort of curious what that would be. Well, anyway, of course, I think we're facing some very, very difficult times. We can note that Warren Buffett, after losing almost $900 million shorting the dollar last year, is shorting the dollar again this year. And Warren Buffett's a lot smarter than I am. I think he's on the inside track. He knows what's going to happen. He knows it's only a matter of time. And certainly Paul Volcker and Robert Rubin have both said that they think the dollar is on the verge of collapse. And where is the outcry? Where is the show of concern on the part of the American people? The stock market keeps going up as if there's no tomorrow. And, of course, people are still spending frantically out there in the stores. But I think things are going to begin contracting after the first of the year. I think that people are really going to find it increasingly hard to get jobs. And of course, you just can't keep spending money you don't have. You can't do it when you're an individual. You can't do it when you're a nation. And America is having to borrow $3.5 billion every year to pay its bills. Cal Grunwald, thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you with us again next month about the same time, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening has been Cal Grunwald. And if you'd like to know more about currencies, we have a little pamphlet we've written. It consists of 5 of my newsletters called The History of Money. And then, of course, we have my talk on the financial tsunami. It's a talk, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, and we suggest you get both of them together. That's a financial tsunami talk and or syllabus, but better off together. The pamphlet, The History of Money. a book by Professor Sutton entitled The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. It was enacted back in 1913 to enrich the bankers, and that's exactly what it has done. And then finally, I would simply mention the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and probably one more small little book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you read those, you'll know more about the financial system than most bankers do, and perhaps be able to begin to position yourself for the very difficult times that lie ahead. Again, The History of Money, that's of course my book, Financial Tsunami, The Talk and or the Syllabus, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France, a book that was written almost 150 years ago about something that took place over 200 years ago in 1789, when France did exactly what we're doing today. And as you read that book, it's like deja vu all over again. I read that book 44 years ago, and I've never forgotten. Now, my telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I do want to mention we do carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, and of course, if you're interested in getting the fluoride out of your water, you really need to. And of course, if you get one of those through us, well, you'll get a video or four-tape set that we've produced. You do not want to be drinking fluoridated water. If you'd like a copy of my article on water fluoridation, it's up on the Internet. Or, if you don't have access to it, give us a call, and we'll be glad to provide you, free of charge, a copy of my article on water fluoridation and the toxicity. And, of course, we know that it has an effect on the testosterone level of men. It lowers the sperm count. It actually increases the incidence of Down's disease in children and decreases the motility of the sperm. It's being used for fertility control, but they can't tell you that. And, of course, in the black population, it increases the blood level of lead 6 times in the areas where they have water, fluoridated water, 6 times. It doubles the level, blood level in whites, just doubles it, but increases it in black 6 times. Do you think that's an accident? They have it. This was a study done, I think, on 450,000 children. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to understand the racist nature of so much of what's going on in America today. There really are evil and wicked people in power. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our material on population control, our video, our certainly our four-tape set, or the Population Control Special. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. We actually carry the National Security Study Memorandum 200. It comes nicely abound, so if you don't have a copy. It was a top-secret document back in 1974 that came out over the signature of that great humanitarian and a great American patriot, Henry Kissinger, telling you that the main thrust of American foreign policy is population control. We have the entire text, and this was sent to me by somebody in government who wanted to get it out many years ago, the entire text of Dr. David MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee in 1969 on the military, where he asked for $10 billion to create a new disease for which there'd be no immune response. And as he said, many people believe this is going to be a new means of mass killing. It's going to be a new means of mass killing. We want the money to actually produce it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, this hour, we're just going to be talking about the significance of the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, and then so much of what's going on today, and try to put things into perspective so you can understand the significance of what's going on and the spiritual significance of what's taking place as well. Because, of course, God does bring punishment on nations that turn against him. And behind so much of what's going on, there certainly are spiritual and powers at work here in our society. But I think the first thing you have to understand is that there really are people who hate America. And so many times they're the most powerful people here in this country. They have a different vision. They have a different view. They believe that they have the right to rule us common folks. They really believe that we should have a ruling aristocracy. I know one of my friends, Bill Dannemeyer, Congressman Dannemeyer, told me that at one time David Rockefeller, they were having a meeting with him, and he commented, "Some men are born to rule, but most men are born to be ruled." Some men are born to rule, but most men are born to be ruled. And that really is the whole idea, this idea of noblesse oblige, the white man's burden. But not all white men, just certain white men, have the right to rule over others. That was the idea of the British Commonwealth. And now, of course, that is transferred to America. As we have a Pax Americana, and as America dominates the entire world, and those people, of course, who are using America's military and financial power to control the world, also intend, of course, to control the American people. There's a wonderful quotation in David Rockefeller's book. It's his memoirs, and we carry that book, incidentally, if you'd like to get it. On page 405, David Rockefeller says this, referring to the people who don't like the Rockefeller family. And I quote, "Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty. I am proud of it." Now, ladies and gentlemen, what he is basically saying is he agrees with this idea. There is this cabal. It is a secret cabal that's working against the best interests of the United States. And, of course, they are internationalists. Their dedication is not to America, but to this idea of creating a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world. Now, certainly in a free society, you have the right to your own opinion. But you do not have the right to conspire, which is really what's going on today, to conspire to destroy the integrity of our government and to place people in key positions of power who, swear to uphold our Constitution and have no intention of doing that. And that's exactly what's going on today. Well, of course, they, of course, have been working on this for a long period of time. We are moving very, very rapidly towards an authoritarian society. And what most people do not understand is that they are keeping track of all of our financial records. They're keeping track of our medical records. In fact, I just got something from Blue Cross today that was talking about their privacy policy, and if you read it through, what it says is we can send all the records on you to the government, and as required by law, we can let them know every intimate detail of your past history. Would you like people knowing every intimate detail, everything you ever told your doctor? That's available now to the people in positions of power who want to control you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about this idea of a dictatorship in America, which is so foreign to the average individual. And yet, of course, you should not be surprised. The same spirit that certainly energized the Nazis is alive and well in America today. And if you read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, that Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, you'll find that there was a group in England called the Cliveden Set, which was actually working very closely with Adolf Hitler, and of course, they were encouraging him at each step to expand his position. They were actually helping Adolf Hitler establish his military dominance over Europe. And that Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, of course, you read the book we carry called Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, or the letter we have from Ambassador Dodd to Colonel House in 1936, asking why American corporations were building up Adolf Hitler's war-making machine. And as Ambassador Dodd said, why would they do that when there's no money to be made? Their exchange controls and the companies can't get their money out of Germany. Do the stockholders of these 100 corporations, American corporations, realize, of course, that they're building up the Hitler's war-making potential, and there's no profit to be made? Well, of course, Ambassador Dodd didn't understand. Colonel House did, because he was part of this secret cabal that we often talk about and is discussed in our August and September 2006 newsletters, which I hope you will get copies of and read through and study and begin to understand how this whole thing works. But after the Second World War, after so many of our boys had died to defeat the Nazis, why, under Operation Paperclip, many of the most wicked of the Nazi scientists were brought here to America, and many of them were given American citizenship, and 10,000 of them, with the full support of the CIA and MI6, were allowed to escape to South America, where these kindly Nazis like certain Martin Bormann and Adolf Eichmann and Klaus Barbie were picked up, but not by the Allies, not by the CIA. They knew where they were. They didn't want the Jews to get them, but the Jews did capture them and took them both back to Stone trial. But Mengele and so many of the most brutal of the Nazis were allowed to live out their lives in South America, and some of them were even allowed to come to America. I've talked to a number of people who have actually swear that they talked to Dr. Mengele here, working for our government within these satanic organizations that really do exist here in the United States of America. And we'll be back here in just a moment to continue this discussion. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, when we talk about these things, why people sort of look askance at us, but if you'd like to go into the background of Operation Paperclip, we have a four-tape set. Actually, it's called Operation Paperclip, and there you'll see my interviews with the woman who wrote the book, Secret Agenda, probably one of the best books ever written about Operation Paperclip. And we do carry, of course, Craig Roberts, The Medusa File, that has a section in there on Operation Paperclip. And the fact you haven't heard of this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Since the book, Secret Agenda, costs $100 today, to get a copy, if you'd like, of course, to get the four-tape set on the Secret Agenda, and it's called Operation Paperclip, it is available through Radio Liberty. Now, it is not simply by coincidence that when we closed down the military camps here in the United States, and so many of the military camps are closed, those camps were not simply sold off. They just simply changed the barbed wire on the fences surrounding the camp, not to keep people out, but to keep people in. And many of those camps are still manned with a skeleton staff waiting for people to be put into them. If you doubt that there are plans for a dictatorship in America, I suggest you go up onto Google and you Google in Halliburton, $385 million, and then detention camps. You'll find out that recently they authorized Halliburton, that, of course, is a company that Dick Cheney used to head, And for many, many years after he became vice president, he got something called the delayed compensation. Nobody ever understood what why you'd get a salary from Halliburton, as well as, of course, as a salary from the United States government. Some people might think there was a conflict of interest, but, of course, nobody dares speak out on that. You might go hunting with Dick Cheney and end up like one of his friends did, with a face full of buckshot. Under any circumstances, why Halliburton was given $385 million to build detention camps, and then here within the last 2 weeks, why we find out that they've appropriated $38 million to refurbish and maintain the Japanese concentration camps. There are about 10 of them, where they put 120,000 Japanese, American Japanese, most of them loyal Americans. They put them in camps in 1941 and 1942, and we want to refurbish those camps so we just never forget how terrible it was, to put people into concentration camps. And if you believe that's why we're refurbishing them, I think you're incredibly naive. There is a plan, and there's been a plan for a long period of time, in the case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution, arrest American citizens, and put them into concentration camps. If you'd like to see Congressman Henry Gonzalez, long-term chairman of the House Banking Committee, make that statement. We actually have that in something called The Sampler. They get it on DVD, or you can get it on VHS, or you can, of course, get more extensive material on the concentration camps. We have pictures of them in a video called America Behind Barbed Wire, and we recommend something called the Concentration Camp Special, where you'll actually get the tapes and you'll get some of the written material directing how they're going to treat the civilians in these military camps. Ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who want a military dictatorship, but how are they going to get the American people to accept it? Well, there's going to have to be a major cataclysmic event. It will have to be an epidemic. It will have to be civilian disturbance. It'll have to be certainly a natural disaster, like, of course, Hurricane Katrina. And, of course, it's the most amazing thing about Hurricane Katrina, because it really wasn't a Category 5 hurricane. It was a Category 3 hurricane. The major thrust of Hurricane Katrina did not hit New Orleans. It hit the Mississippi coastline, where it did terrible damage. In fact, the streets were beginning to dry in New Orleans. The storm had passed when suddenly the levees began giving way, and of course the city flooded. And then, of course, there were many people who were trapped there. And then, of course, FEMA did everything wrong to keep the supplies out. And everything was done to keep the people from leaving the city. And you remember the people who tried to get out across the bridge and were forced back at gunpoint, back into the chaos of the Superdome and there at the convention center. And then they brought in the federal troops and the Blackstone mercenary professional killers, and the federal troops were going door to door collecting weapons and creating chaos. And why would you disarm people when there's no law and order, when you have a chaotic situation? I think simply it was a trial to find out how much the American people would accept. Well, we have to understand that our current crisis that we're in America was, I believe, entirely created. And for those of you who doubt that, we actually have a three-tape set called Foreknowledge 911. It's a compilation of my letters. And then we put together a new series, The Truth About 911, and we're on part five, and this will actually conclude what happened that morning. But there's no question they knew the attack was coming, and they did not try to stop it. And building number 7 was brought down as a controlled explosion. You only have to go on the Internet, Google in, of course, Building 7, just Building 7 videos, and you can watch it come down, and you'll notice what happens with Building 7 is that the center of the roof begins to cave in. Now, that's what you do with a controlled implosion or explosion. You have to collapse the center of the building, otherwise it'll tend to fall outwards. So you destroy the central supports for the building, And then the base of the building gives way and it collapses in its own shadow. And they did that at 5:20 on the day of the attack, 8 hours after the other buildings had been hit. Why did it come down? Well, it's obvious. It is a controlled explosion. And it's a controlled demolition. And of course, a lot of people have talked about Larry Silverstein actually talking about pulling the building. And because everybody, of course, began to question that, oh, obviously he was talking about, exploding the building, and how could that have happened? Well, then, of course, they put out a movie with John Travolta on firemen, and they brought out this thing, and most Americans, and many of them, saw this, where, of course, suddenly this term was introduced into our vocabulary. When the firemen are in a building and you want to get them out, you pull the building. You pull the building, meaning you take the firemen out, not take the building down. Well, I have no question, and I think anybody who is intelligent can look at the pictures of Building 7 coming down. They're available on Google. Just Google in Building 7 videos, and you'll see them, a number of them. That was a controlled explosion. That, of course, justified passing the Patriot Act, which passed shortly thereafter as a result of the anthrax attack. And you remember the anthrax attack where two Democratic senators who would have opposed the Patriot Act received anthrax-laden letters, as well as some other people. And obviously the Bush administration knew there was going to be an anthrax attack because on the very evening of the September 11th attack, Dick Cheney and the White House staff started on Cipro. Now, Cipro is specific for anthrax. There is no reason you would take Cipro unless you knew an anthrax attack was coming, because it has potential complications. It's a fluoridated antibiotic, and of course it weakens your tendons, and so you can't play racquetball or the other things which you ordinarily would do. You have to be very, very careful because your tendons are weak when you're on Cipro. So why did they start taking Cipro on the very evening of September 11th? And if anybody doubts that, we have the documentation on it. Why did they do it? Well, they must have known or suspected an anthrax attack was coming. Did you notice that no Republican senators or no Republican congressmen got anthrax letters? Just some fellow who had written something critical about the government. I think he worked for the National Enquirer, a couple of postal employees, and a couple of Democratic senators. But out of that hysteria that followed, we got the Patriot Act. Now, the Patriot Act was rushed through Congress. The congressmen weren't allowed to read it, and of course it contained all sorts of things that the Clinton administration had tried to get through. George Herbert Walker Bush's good friend Bill Clinton couldn't get this legislation through after the Oklahoma City bombing to massively expand government control over our lives and the people and allow the government, of course, to have all sorts of new control and violating our Constitution. The most important parts of the Patriot Act were increased monitoring of people, monitoring their medical records, monitoring their financial records, so that every financial major transaction you have is reported to the government, and they're going all throughout the world forcing other governments and other communities and countries to actually give them financial records on Americans. And of course, it violates international law, but who are you going to complain to about that when the government violates the law? Who do you complain to? Under any circumstances, the Patriot Act, of course, had severe importance, a very, very important involvement as far as the Fourth Amendment concerned, because it allowed them to come into your home without your knowledge and steal things out of your home to be used against you. You don't even know who's been in your home. And they had 72 hours to get a warrant. Of course, they could always get a warrant from some judge, but they didn't have to have a warrant. They could come in without a warrant and get the warrant later and search your home without your knowledge, and you wouldn't even know about it for many months, if you may never know when they've been in your home. And that completely guts the Fourth Amendment. But you see, these people believe the Constitution gets in the way. What they wanted was massive increase of a certainty of evaluation, monitoring of the American people. That was the Patriot Act. But that wasn't the only thing that happened at that time. Then we got the Office of Homeland Security. And, of course, one of the things that went along with that was collecting dossiers on American citizens. They wanted to set up a neighborhood watch. They wanted to get Americans spying on Americans. And you can be sure that they have a massive system of informers all across America. I know many years I was asked to become an informer. I don't know how many out of you have actually been asked, in more recent years, but I know many years ago I was asked to just go to cocktail parties and send a report on what people were saying. This was 40 years ago in America, and I'm sure they're still doing it today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, we're talking about the Office of Homeland Security Act, which is, of course, the whole idea was to protect us from those wicked terrorists. But the trouble is the terrorists were never a threat. Had the terrorists really been a threat, they would have immediately closed the southern border. They would have stopped the catch-and-release program by which when people come in from Muslim countries who might very well be terrorists, or anybody else who comes from any country other than Mexico, they catch them, and then, of course, they book them, and then they release them, tell them to come back in a month or 2 months for a deportation hearing. They never come back again. Now, if you were really concerned about a war on terrorism, you're really concerned that the wicked terrorists were going to be coming across our borders to blow up our countries, to derail our trains, to commit acts of terrorism, why would you release people who had already violated our laws, who were sneaking in from terrorist countries? And yet that's the policy we've had for the last 5 years, and it still continues today. They've refused to close our borders. They refused to stop the catch-and-release program. They've done everything they could to block the arming of our pilots. They've done everything they could to prevent an adequate number of air marshals. And we have the air marshals on probably less than 10% of our flights today, and it's all smoke and mirrors. They do not check the cargo going out of the planes. They may check your bags because they're trying to create in your mind the perception we're involved in a war on terrorism. But the truth of the matter is, it's all as phony as a $3 bill. If they were really concerned about terrorism, they would certainly be checking all the cargo that goes on board the planes because that could blow up. And yet, not checking the cargo, 5 years since September 11th, we've not had one major terrorist attack. How could that possibly be if Osama bin Laden was smart enough to get 19 hijackers to be willing to come to America and hijack four planes on September 11th? Why hasn't he been able to get one more person to come to this country? Because it's all a lie. You read the September or October issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. That is the magazine of the elite. The Council on Foreign Relations, their logo, a man first riding a white horse. But if you read their magazine, the lead article, September, October, is entitled, Why Haven't They Hit Us Again? And the conclusion of that article is, they haven't hit us again because, of course, there really isn't a threat from Al-Qaeda. Now, that's what they're telling the elite. That's not what they're going to tell the common people. Because, of course, this whole idea of the threat on terrorism is to get us to go along with increased government surveillance, to get us to go along with increased wiretapping, to get us to go along with the government collecting dossiers on us, to get us to go along in the name of protecting our freedom, to giving up our freedom. The United States already has more people in prison than communist China, more people in prison per capita than any other nation in the world. Why is that? Why, of course, they have all these prisons out there. And these people will work for 11 cents an hour. We criticize the communists for slave labor, and we have it right in our own prisons here in America. And the fact you're not hearing this sort of thing reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. Almost 1%, about 0.7% of the American population are in prison today. One in every three young black men is in prison on parole or probation. This didn't happen by accident. But the American people honestly believe, of course, that we're going to be able to continue going the way we are and maintain our freedom, and I'd like to suggest it's already gone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about the Office of Homeland Security. And, of course, some of the ideas we're putting forward may seem revolutionary to you. You don't realize we have more people in prison in the United States per 100,000 than any other nation in the world. Far more per 100,000 than the Chinese communists, the wicked Chinese communists, or even the wicked Russians. We have more people in prisons per 100,000 citizens in the United States that, by far, than any other nation in the world. Well, of course, immediately after 9-1-1, which was contrived, which was actually, if you get into the background of this, and there's more and more information coming out now, there were military exercises that morning that were designed to confuse people. I believe there was a stand-down order. I believe that Dick Cheney was in charge of everything. And you read part 5 of our latest newsletter, The Truth Story of 9-1-1, you'll find out what actually Dick Cheney was doing that morning from none other source than Norman Mineta, actually the Secretary of Transportation, who inadvertently during the 9-1-1 Commission interviews actually let out in public what happened. Now, that was actually in the transcript of what happened, but was totally deleted from the 9-1-1 Commission report because they do not want the American people to know what really happened that morning. Imagine if the American people realized that we left those 3,000 people there to die. Have you ever wondered what happened to the 1,100 bodies of the people in the Twin Towers that have never been found? Now, if those buildings had collapsed, as we were told, why, well, they would have been crushed, but the building bodies would have been there. You can crush them, but those bodies aren't there. They were simply vaporized when the building exploded. And that is, of course, the story you're never going to hear. And that is why the 9/11 Commission sealed the testimony of over 1,100 people who testified in private. They sealed those records for 30 years because they do not want the American people to know what had that happened that morning, because think of the implications. If we were not told the truth about 9/11, then it means the attack on Afghanistan, all the people who died, Americans, Afghans, is unnecessary. If they lied to us about what happened on 9-1, it means the attack on Iraq was not necessary. In fact, if you read my latest newsletter, you'll find out it was planned a long time ago, beforehand. And even Paul O'Neill, in his book, on page 96 of his book, The Price of Loyalty, tells you he was attending the meetings, eight months before the 9-1-1 attack in January and February of 2001, meetings of the National Security Council, and there was Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz talking about the coming war with Iraq. This is 8 to 9 months before the 9-1-1 attack. And they were talking about how we were going to justify a preemptive attack, how they were going to divide up Iraq's oil. Ladies and gentlemen, page 96 of Paul O'Neill's book, The Price of Loyalty. If you want the page, we'll be glad to send it to you. You have to understand, this is all contrived. But it was contrived not only, of course, to create the tragedy that's unfolding in the Middle East, and according to Johns Hopkins University, over 600,000 Iraqi civilians have died that wouldn't have died if we had not been there. But, you know, the tragedy of this, of course, is that they're using what's going on in the Middle East to convince the American people we have to give up our freedom. So the things that they initially did was to pass the Patriot Act, of course, was unpatriotic. It gutted the Fourth Amendment. Then they, of course, went ahead and they passed the Office of Homeland Security Act, which began to lay up the foundation for a police state here in America. And then they passed something known as the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, which most people have never heard of. We do have copies of that. It was to be passed, actually, by the states. But it would allow, in the case of an epidemic, for the government to seize your home, to seize your car, to seize any food that you had stored, to put you into a concentration camp, to forcibly vaccinate you. This is a frightening piece of legislation. You may never heard of it, whether your state actually enacted it or not. I don't know, about half the states did in one form or another. The most draconian sort of thing, but why would they be so concerned about an epidemic? Because at Fort Detrick in Maryland today, our government is creating the most deadly diseases ever created. And if you doubt that, we'd be glad to send you the article out of the Washington Post on that. But you have to understand, these are for defensive purposes. We're doing that because Osama bin Laden might actually, living in the cave over there in Afghanistan, develop, or in Pakistan, wherever he is. I really think he's been dead for some time. Doesn't matter. He's probably been dead for over a year, but they can't let the American people know that. We have to have a boogeyman to create fear in the hearts of the American people so that they will be willing to go along with giving up their freedom. Having forgotten that axiom by Benjamin Franklin, who said any person willing to give up any part of their individual liberty for security is entitled to neither liberty nor security. And I would add, will surely lose both. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking about the things that are going on today that are designed to take away our freedom. And of course, we were talking about the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act that was passed immediately after the 9/11 attack. And of course, they were able to get almost everything through Congress at that time. But in case of an epidemic or some sort of a public health emergency, which would be declared by the Surgeon General or the President of the United States, then they would be able, of course, to declare, in essence, a military rule, a military dictatorship in America. And, of course, most people are not even aware of the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which brings us forward, of course, to the last part of this, the next part of what's going on, and that, of course, is in October of this year, that two pieces of legislation were enacted, which to me are really very, very frightening. One of them is called the Military Commissions Act, and the other is called the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. Now, first of all, before we get into that, we would point out that if you go up on the Internet and look up DARPA, or Totally Information Awareness Project, TIAP, you will find out that this was a military scheme for collecting dossiers on every American citizen. The Congress had told the military they could not do that, but they're doing it anyway. I mean, because the military does not obey our elected representatives. They are in service of the cabal that rules this country. And, of course, the military, when you're in the military, you do what you're told to do. And they're collecting dossiers on American citizens. Certainly the Office of Homeland Security is doing the same thing, is tagging everybody who flies and giving them a color coding. And they can simply tell you, you can't fly, you can't leave the country, you can't do anything, because you might be a terrorist. Now, then, of course, we find in October of this year, they passed the Military Commission Act, which I think, to me, is one of the most frightening piece of legislation ever enacted. And, of course, it was enacted with the guise of, well, we've got to be able to do something with these people down in Guantanamo, and we've got to be able to try these people, and we can't try them in a court of law, because, of course, they would then have a fair trial. And we can't allow that, because these are wicked people. They want to kill Americans, and so, and I would not say that probably some of them do want to hate Americans. I mean, after all, when they've been tortured and their families have been killed, there is a growing, increasing hatred towards America. But is this the way to solve the problem? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment to talk about the Military Commissions Act. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to talk about the Military Commission Act. First of all, the Military Commission Act supposedly is only applies to aliens. And, of course, they start out saying the Military Commission Act only applies to aliens. But then as you get towards the end of the act, why, it's no longer talking about aliens, it's talking about persons. Now, you know, certainly Alberto Gonzalez, who's the Attorney General, says, why, we would never use this on American citizens. This is only for aliens. But then what about this reference to persons in the bill? Well, do you really believe what the government says? Do you remember when George Bush says, we're going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive? You mean to tell me when we've got satellites that can read a newspaper from outer space? When we have spies and we have special forces teams infiltrated into countries all over the world, we honestly couldn't find a 6'6", you know, Arab with a long, straggly beard? You know, who's actually has serious medical problems and is in need of medical care all the time? Of course we could. It's simply that we have never wanted to, and we've always used the threat from Osama bin Laden to justify draconian legislation here in America. You have to have an enemy so you can take away the people's freedom. It's as old as 1984. Plato wrote about it in the Republic when he said, and I quote, when the tyrant has defeated the enemy by conquest or treaty and there's nothing to fear from him, then he's always, of course, creating a new enemy so he can rally the people behind him. End of quotation. And that's exactly what's going on today. They are creating an enemy to rally the people behind the government, and the American people, in the name of protecting our freedom, are giving it up. Well, this legislation, first of all, says that it will apply only to aliens, but then it begins to talk to persons. Now, the next thing it does, it blocks judicial intervention. So if you have somebody who is going to be tried by a military commission, no American court can intervene. And they simply have used the Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution to say that by the will of Congress, why no court can intervene. And so let's imagine that you are arrested and you're accused of being an enemy combatant and you're thrown in prison. You say, but I'm an American citizen. You can't apply this to me. And the courts can't intervene. They say, yeah, well, prove it. You say, well, you got to get into court. Well, you can't get into court. You're not allowed to go into court. We can lock you up indefinitely here. And if you lock you up indefinitely, how will you prove you're an American citizen? And you say, I want, of course, the courts to go into this. I want to get into court. Well, they suspend the right of habeas corpus. Now, what does habeas corpus mean? It means bring forth the body. It is one of the basic tenets of English common law, under the rule of the tyrant. Why, of course, he could simply lock up his enemies forever. And going along with the Magna Carta in 1215, and then in subsequent laws in Great Britain, this idea that you had to limit the power of the tyrant. And so if anybody was arrested by the government, they had a right to the right of habeas corpus, the right to get into court, to be charged with a crime, and a right to a speedy trial. Under the Military Commission Act, you do not have that right. First of all, there is no right of habeas corpus. There is no right, of course, for judicial review to even determine whether you are an American citizen. You are not allowed to have an attorney, or, of course, appointed an attorney by the military commission, a military officer whose career depends upon getting you convicted. Recently, of course, it was one of the people at Guantanamo who was being very badly treated, and his military attorney, an honest man who worked for the military, is a career member of the judge advocate of the legal profession within the Army, and he took the case all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won his case. I mean, it was a brilliant thing. The Army was doing the wrong thing, and you know what they did to that officer? They passed him over for a promotion, and his military career ended. Why? Because he did the right thing. Now, how many attorneys working for the military are going to risk their career and their income to do the right thing? If you are appointed as an attorney for somebody who's been, being tried by the military commission, you belong to the Army, are you going to do the right thing, or are you going to keep your job? And I fear that most military officers will, of course, compromise their principles to keep their job. Now, you're not allowed to see the evidence against you in these military commissions. If you have been tortured and you have been confessed under torture, they can use that, and it allows torture. The Military Commission Act allows torture. How could a Christian nation allow torture? George Bush said we would never allow torture, and we're going to pass this legislation that makes any past torture perfectly legal. In fact, if anybody wants to sue somebody who's tortured them, this act gives you a retroactive immunity from being prosecuted. In other words, if you tortured somebody in the past, they can't sue you because this act makes what happened in the past before the law was actually passed legal. It's like notice an ex post facto law. It's against the law, but then we're dealing with a lawless administration. Even Janet Reno was concerned about the taking away the right of habeas corpus under this legislation, under the Military Commissions Act. If somebody else is tortured and has accused you of a crime, that, of course, evidence is admissible to the court. And, of course, so you can be tortured. Your confession can be used against you. Somebody else can be tortured. That evidence can be used against you. And then, of course, hearsay evidence, which is never, of course, admissible in any legitimate court, can be used against you. And this is simply a kangaroo court. You can be indefinitely confined under this legislation. And, of course, you can't invoke the Geneva Convention. You're not allowed to invoke the Geneva Convention. You're not even allowed to talk about the fact you've been tortured. What sort of legislation is this? Who could have come up with anything like this? Unless they were planning on a dictatorship in America. This is the most draconian legislation I've ever seen. But then the next step, of course, right along with that, was the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. Now, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act suspends the posse comitatus in the United States. What is the posse comitatus legislation? It is legislation that was passed following the Civil War so that American troops could never again be used against American citizens, because when following the Civil War, American troops from the Union Army were stationed in the South, and they were cruel and really inhumane in their treatment of the Southerners. And, you know, certainly when the South invaded the North, they didn't burn the cities, they didn't attack civilians. When the North invaded the South, they were ruthless. They burned the farms. They marched from Atlanta to the sea, and they burned everything along the way. And, of course, I think it was General Sherman afterwards who said, "War is hell." And war is a matter of just destroying the enemy and breaking his resistance and crushing his spirit. And as Sherman said, you know, war is hell, there's no way to refine it. And he was absolutely right. Well, as a result of that, of course, the Posse Comitatus Act was passed so that American troops could not be used against American citizens. What's wrong with using American troops against American citizens? Because American troops are trained one thing, they're trained to kill. That's what it's about. The army kills people and destroys things and crushes the opposition. Here in America, of course, if there's a civil disturbance, why we have our police are trained to handle civil disturbances, although increasingly they're being militarized. But, you know, we saw what happened in Kent State during the Vietnam War when you took a bunch of National Guard troops and you gave them high-powered rifles and you put them into gas masks and you marched them up and down, and the students started throwing rocks at them, and some of them were throwing flowers, and the troops opened up and they killed, I don't know how many of the students. Now, why would you do something like that? Why wouldn't you give the military shotguns filled with birdshot to defend themselves? Do you want to give them high-powered rifles? Because all you can do with a high-powered rifle is kill people. Nobody was ever punished. None of the soldiers were ever held responsible for the American students that they killed. And now they want to do that again. George Bush wants to do that. They've done away with the Posse Comitatus Act, which was the one thing that protected us from the brutality of our own armed forces being used against American citizens in the United States. Even more frightening, of course, is the fact that the National Guard can now be taken by the President of the United States in case he declares a national emergency. And this would, of course, be in the case of a civil disturbance, in case of a natural disaster, a national disaster, I should say, in case of an epidemic. As we pointed out, they are really working on creating some terrible and horrible deadly diseases at Fort Detrick in violation of all the treaties we've signed on biological and bacteriological warfare. But you see, our leaders really don't believe in treaties. And they don't tell the truth, because there is a cabal of very evil people. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to read them. You need to read my book or see the video or the audio tape. And then you need to read the August and September 2006 Radio Liberty letters, which are available at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And understand, there really is an elite who look down on common people like you and I, who believe that because they're so much smarter than we are and so much more almost endowed with superhuman intelligence and capability, and these are the nice people. They would never kill anybody themselves. They'd just send other people, the CIA, the military, the special forces, use them as assassins. They would never, of course, bloody their hands. But, of course, these are people who believe in force and believe we should have a ruling elite, not only to rule America, but to rule the world. But they have to control America because America is getting unruly, and there's some people here who are beginning to question the fact that almost 3,000 people died on September 11th. And what happened to those 1,100 bodies that have never been found in the Twin Towers? Whatever happened to them? Nobody asked that. How could it possibly be that the passport of one of the hijackers who was in the plane that crashed into the North Tower, at least that's what they tell us, that his passport was able to get out of his pocket and drift down to Earth and land a block and a half away from the North Tower, and it didn't even have a SINS mark on it. It was just completely normal and picked up and turned over to the military. And the same thing happened, of course, to one of the pilot, the passport of another pilot. And of course, that did have some SINS marks on it, but that survived the flight of 93, that, of course, completely destroyed the plane. But, of course, we're told that the black boxes were buried down 25 feet below the surface. The fire supposedly consumed the wreckage and all the people and everything else. And if you look at the crash site, there's nothing there but a big hole in the ground. And that one passport survived. Do you honestly believe that? And do you think it's just a coincidence that they had military exercises on the morning of 9/11 that simulated the hijacking of planes here in the United States? And that both the 9/11 Commission and the Joint Select Intelligence Committee Commission that investigated this, neither one of them mentioned those military exercises. Or that, of course, that Dick Cheney was responsible, was controlling everything that morning from a bunker beneath the White House. And you've never heard that, although it did come out in Norman Mineta's testimony. And that's why you want to read part 5 of my series on the true story of 9/11. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who dream a different dream, who march to a different drumbeat, who have a different version of what the world should be, because they worship a different God. Well, of course, what they have done with the military commission, with the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, is now when the president declares a national emergency, he has the ability actually to take the National Guard away from the governor of the state. Now, in the past, the federal government would have to request the National Guard or release of the National Guard units for various activities. And recently, when the president asked Governor Schwarzenegger to give more troops to guard the border, Governor Schwarzenegger said, no, I'm not going to give them. We need those troops in California in case there's a problem. But now, of course, the governor no longer will control the National Guard. The National Guard was developed to protect America, not to be used for other purposes. But now, of course, the National Guard can be taken without the governor's permission and sent into other states to be used against the people. And this is really what it's really all about. It is an effort to bring military law and military dictatorship to America. Even liberal Senator Leahy, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, has made the statement, this legislation encourages President Bush to declare a national emergency and have a military dictatorship here in America, military rule, and this is what it's really all about. And the fact that you're not hearing these things discussed by Rush Limbaugh, or by Sean Hannity, or certainly by Brian Williams, or by the other pundits who are paid so well by the establishment to betray the American people. The fact this is not being discussed is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And we're going to put together a four-tape set on this, and we hope you'll want to get hold of it, and you want to circulate this. We'll also have the copies of the Military Commissions Act for anybody who wants to get them. But I think we've summarized fairly well what these pieces of legislation entail. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, I could give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I do hope many of you will want to get our material. We have a 4-tape set on concentration camps. We have videos, very, very short video, that will, you'll actually see the Iran-Contra hearings where Congressman Jack Brooks tries to get this information out at the Iran-Contra hearings. And then you'll hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez say, yes, there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and to arrest American citizens and put them into concentration camps. We've got Gary calling from Tennessee. Gary, do you have a question or comment?
I have a couple of comments. Everybody's watched somebody put a 1,000-piece puzzle together, and you get a few pieces down and get the edge built, and you have no idea what the full picture is. Well, I'm putting the last few pieces of this puzzle together, and boy, I don't like the picture.
I don't like it either, and Chris, this is why we tried to put this this program over. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're doing really good. You're a nice, calm, cool, collected way to unwind the evening. I do about 100 hours a week of talk radio. and so I don't sleep very good at night sometimes. Anyway, getting down to business, I heard two programs today. I would suggest that you and the listeners...
Hold that thought right there, Gary. All right, Gary, go ahead.
Anyway, Alex Jones had a doctorate of law that was involved in writing the biowarfare treaties or whatever and everything. She tagged the exact laboratory that the anthrax came from that got the Patriot Act 1 put in together. And then she went through the different acts that they have passed since then, which is in line with what you're talking about. But the darkest and most evil thing that I heard today was Dr. Bill Deagle, D-E-A-G-L-E.
He's I don't know quite well. Okay.
Yeah, he's on rbnlive.com. You can go back in the archives and listen to his program he had today on Morgellons disease. And by coincidence or divine providence, whatever, I heard this The Dark Side of Nanotechnology, rerun of Art Bell on George Norrie's program Coast to Coast AM last Sunday night, and they came up and said it was silicone-based, self-replicating, non-living entity.
Well, we don't know exactly what it is, but whatever it is, it's a new disease. They've created all sorts of new diseases, and of course, are we told that they've done that. If you haven't read the book, Project Eli, which is written by Garth Nicholson, he goes into a lot of those diseases, and certainly Dr. Nicholson is one of the most eminent scientists we have in America. But we'll certainly take a look and see what we can find about that. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
I've spoken to Dr. Garth Nicholson several times. I've got chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and he helped me out a lot, and I really appreciate it.
I'm going to have to let you go because we're just about out of time. But thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
Let's go to Rita calling from Colorado. Rita?
Hi. I wanted to bring forth something about an article that I just read. And John Conyers is refusing to introduce articles of impeachment. And I think that this agenda that is being put forth with all of the Military Commissions Act and the people that are putting it forth, and George Bush in particular, need to be held responsible by the people. And
I think they do, Rita, but first of all, we got to educate the people. Doesn't it do any good to bring forth papers of impeachment until the American people understand what this is about? So I do hope that you do everything you can to help us to get the truth out, will you?
Yeah, and what I'm trying to do, I can give you a
Now, we're out of time, Rita. God bless you. Thanks very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs, who value freedom for yourself and for your family. and want to preserve this wonderful land that we've inherited from generations past. Those of you who agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle, because there are powerful spiritual forces who are energizing the wicked people who are intent upon destroying our freedom and establishing a world government. If you agree with this, that we have a unique message, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or anyway, if you can help us, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. We do want to mention that we do carry a 4-tape set on concentration camps. We have a video called America Behind Barbed Wire. We actually have something called The Amazing Clips, and of course it deals with many things, but one of them is actually the issues of the concentration camps. You can even get something very, very short. It's called The Shocker, that has the testimony, certainly before the Senate Investigating Committee of the Iran-Contra, where Jack Brooks is trying to bring out the story of the concentration camps and the plan to suspend the Constitution, and he keeps being interrupted by Senator Inouye, and then, of course, the remarks by Henry Gonzalez about the fact that there really is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens and put them into detention camps. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary, it's real. And your job is to help us get the information out. And certainly anything that we have produced, you have our permission to copy and to distribute, get it out far and wide, because that's why we're here. Our 4-tape sets, any videos we put together. Understand what this is about. And then, of course, help us to get the information out far and wide. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's a good place to start. And you can get the book or the DVD or the video. That you want to get the Chris R. material on Iraq, The Untold Story. Because it is so important people understand that all of the wars of the last century were contrived by this cabal that wants to bring about a world government and that's conspiring to bring about a new international economic order. And as Chris, as David Rockefeller said, some even believe we're part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, out of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. And if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. In other words, he's a traitor to America. He wants to merge us into this one-world system, economic system, with the end of America as you and I know it. And this is the most powerful and wealthy man, his family, certainly here, not only in the United States, but certainly one of the most powerful in the world. So then, of course, we do hope that many of you, of course, will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. If you do not yet have your Berkey water filters, either the big Berkey or the Berkey Light, you certainly need to get them to have them on hand, and you need to get the fluoride filters, because most of the water is fluoridated, and it is not safe to drink. It has a profound impact on your mind and on the endocrine system, on your thyroid, on your fertility, but mostly on your mind. It dulls your ability to think. And, of course, with the blacks, it has a devastating effect on them, which is one reason, in my estimation, why 1 in 3 young black men is in prison or probation or parole. We have an obligation to help them. We have an obligation to try to preserve this nation. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs on the Internet. You can listen to them 5 hours a day. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so, until we're together again tomorrow, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.